June 6, 2015. This is our weekend. weekend time to do the call script all the way through. I just wanted to grab everybody and get us all together so that you could hear the call script all the way through. And what I want you to do is open up your call script examples so that you can follow along. My computer is acting funny and very slow. I think what I may need to do is restart my browser. So give me a moment because I don't have it pulled up. And I don't have access yet to unmute anybody because I need to restart my browser so I can't fiddle with the controls. So sit tight while the browser restarts. And get ready to take notes as well. Still waiting for everything to open up and load. Apologies for weird computer browser performance. I'd like you to think how you want me to run through this practice session today. Is it useful if I play practitioner and I go all the way through it once? Or is it useful if somebody else plays practitioner and I play client or someone else plays client and I just tap in whenever I want to make a note of something and have a teaching moment? So think about which of those methods you think would be an easier way for you to learn. Either I play the practitioner and someone else plays client, or someone else plays practitioner and I pay client, or someone else plays practitioner, someone else plays client, and I just play teacher. Okay, my browser is loading. I'm signing in. But I can unmute people. Running into issues with Maestro. Hold on a moment. Sorry, gang. Maestro Conference won't load the control panel until I update Adobe Flash Player. So yesterday I was in a one-on-one session with Merrill, and I had him playing practitioner, and I would pause and make adjustments to the places wherever it was useful to have adjustments. And that's where I got the idea of, you know, should I have me doing the practitioner role, or should I play the teacher or client role? And I don't know where each of you are in having gone through the script all the way to the end with people who are friends or students or strangers. You want to be practicing the script all the way to the end, whereby you are, boy. You are getting to the place where you show them your specialties list and you show them your menu and you go through the sign-up conversation of helping the person make a decision about a package and actually choose a package by the end of the call, or get close to making a decision about a package and then need to call you back in a couple days to after they look at their finances or after they look at whatever they need to look at. So each of your call run-throughs should go all the way to the end so that you're getting practice all the way to the end of the call script, because you will learn a lot from those experiences. And if any of you were stopping short of that, make sure you get all the way through the end. Okay, now I have access to our call panel. So I'm going to unmute everybody. And I want to know what's the most useful. Oh. What's the most useful way? You should all be unmuted.
I would, this is Heather, and I would have to say that you already went through yourself as the practitioner in the last two calls, and you added a lot of supplemental stuff, so I'd like to see us go further and either you be the client or two of us be the role play and have this, you know, have the teacher in the room, because I think that will be so invaluable.
Okay.
And thank you for taking time on a Saturday. I'm just bowled over that we have a bonus session on a Saturday.
Yeah, I was trying to make it so that everyone can be on the call at the same time. And I realized that the only way to do that between the London hour and the American hours is on a Saturday because of work schedules.
Yeah.
So, Anne is a part of the
Saturday. I like what you did with me yesterday, which was being a practitioner, and as I was working, whether I was a practitioner or you were a client, I liked being corrected as I was going on through the process.
Okay. Mary, what do you think?
I think I'm kind of with Heather that it should be two of us speaking and you teaching.
Okay. Great. If that's what is, feels most useful to you, then let's do it. So who would like to be practitioner? It should be somebody who feels decently comfortable with the script already, because I don't want to have to ideally I want everyone who's listening to get the experience of the general flow and feel of what these calls can feel like and sound like for people. So I don't want to work with someone who, as practitioner, who feels really shaky with it, because we won't hit any kind of flow point. Of course, that said, if we work with somebody who is familiar with it, we might still have to stop and go a lot, in which case we might still not get much flow going. But I'm hoping, fingers crossed, for a little bit of flow. So does anyone want to volunteer to be the practitioner?
I would be willing to do that.
Anyone else want to volunteer?
I'll be the subject. That's fine. The client.
Okay.
Heather, are you happy? Hearing Meryl. I'm just having trouble hearing Meryl. He sounds kind of muffled, or I don't know.
Yeah.
Hear him.
Oh, okay.
I have trouble hearing
Heather,
you.
Heather, do you want to go ahead and be the practitioner? I'm good with that.
If it were tomorrow, I'd be happy to be the practitioner. I have to do a little bit of rewriting, so I'm not 100%.
Okay.
But, yeah, thank you for offering.
Okay. In that case, Meryl, let's just have you talk really clearly into the microphone. You're going to have to focus on holding the microphone by your mouth, and also the talk points that we talked about yesterday, which was to not throw away your lines. So make sure that you're giving full voice to everything you say and don't throw away any lines.
Okay, I'm going to work on getting better at that.
And Meryl, did you also update your call script so that it matches the example call script when it comes to the wording?
You know, I was looking for that. I was looking for that update piece, and on one that you were talking about, I didn't see it. So I still have the one that I updated, but I didn't see that last question about being effectively, where are we with this, that specific question we had talked about.
So does that mean you could not find the free consultation call script?
I couldn't find the one that you said it was.
Oops.
Her name, I just muted having,
so, Meryl, go to Google Drive and type in Dana's example.
Okay. Hang on for a second.
I need you to have the right wording so that everybody's learning correctly on that part.
Gotcha. Hang on for a minute. A dated example free consultation call script, is that what you're referring to?
Yes, that's the original.
Okay, that one. Okay, that's the original. I have it as March 8th, 2015.
So that's what you copy, the area that has to do with what other areas of your life. So that's starting from question 10 all the way down to question 14. That's the checking into the each area of life piece where we stopped yesterday. And then do you have 15 and 16 there too? In your call script?
Yeah, hang on for just a minute. I'm just having a problem with my mouse. I'm not quite sure that's the problem here. All right, let me just go down and check this real quickly here. I think, well, how important is the name? Goal. I have that 16, and this is something that's important to you. Start working on fixing. Excuse me, right now.
So you should have the same wording from 10 to 16. On your script.
I think I do. I thought we had changed some of the questions on 10. The only thing I have on 10 is what other areas of your life does having your goal affect positively? And then you had said we had added additional things on that. And I didn't see anything else out of that.
Okay, let me type in something right now. Okay, there.
Okay. So you added up another 11 versus 10?
What?
So that was actually number 11, because I thought that piece of information was number 10, actually.
Just copy 10, 11, all the way to 16, the way it's written now.
Okay, I have it up on the screen, so I can just read it that way.
Okay. Sounds good.
Fine. Okay.
So I'm going to unmute Mary. She's going to play client. Mary, your job is to answer the questions concisely. Actually,
keep it moving.
Yeah, okay. Huh?
I said yes, keep it moving.
Exactly. And then I'm just going to say, hopefully you can hear me, because with three of us on mic, I'm not sure how easily you can hear me if I have to jump in and say, okay, pause. So
I think there's a brief delay.
Okay. But what I'm going to do is say pause. I'm going to say it twice like that. So hopefully it'll travel through in the middle of your guys' talking so we can take a note on the learning moment.
Okay, Dan, do I want to set, before Mary and I have to get into role play, she also has to understand what business I'm in, set the stage for her?
Mary, do you already understand what business Meryl is in? Do you already know what business he's in?
Similar to mine, isn't it? Marketing online?
No, he teaches people computer programs, so anytime somebody has trouble with Word or Excel or PowerPoint or Access or some of those Microsoft things, that's what he teaches people. So you're going to pretend like you have trouble, let's just say, with Excel. There's certain...
Perfect.
You want to learn Excel better. Let's let that be the problem today.
Okay.
And we're going to run through as if Mary has three goals. So I want everybody to hear what it sounds like when you start shortcutting the goals because you're running out of time. So Mary, goal number one can be to learn Excel. Goal number two can be to learn Word. I don't know, goal number three, PowerPoint. How about that, just to keep it simple?
Sounds good.
Okay. Great. Then let's begin, Meryl, from the top. And Heather, since you're note taker, if you can... You're going to be able to take better notes than everybody else on this call, including me, because I'll be talking during the teaching moment, so I can't really type. And Meryl and Mary will try to keep up, but they're also in the middle of talking. And so, Heather, if you can, are you pretty good at taking notes? Oh, sorry, Heather, your microphone isn't on.
I am.
There you are. Okay, great. Yeah, if you can just be like our official note taker for the day, we can have good notes on all the teaching points. That'd be awesome, Zah. Okay, great. Then, Meryl, let's have you start from the top. Heather, if you need us to pause or if you need anything, raise your hand by pressing 1 on the dial pad. I'm going to have you muted just so we have less noise to compete with.
And one other thing before we begin, Dana, if we have a question, how do we stop? Do I just say, oh, I just want to stop character or break character for a moment, or do I hit number on the
You just say the same thing as me. Say the same thing as me. Just say pause, say it twice, and then ask the question.
Okay. And Mary, let me know if you can't hear me. I'm trying to do my best to keep the modulation steady.
Okay. Yeah.
Awesome. All right, let's begin. Hi, Mary. How you doing?
Hi, Meryl. I'm great. How about you?
All right. I'm good. So this is our time for our consultation call. And this is usually the first paid session that someone gets when they're working with me privately. And you're getting this for free as a gift.
Super.
Awesome. So in this session, we're going to explore your relationship with what you want for your life and for your, let's say, technical abilities. I'm going to be doing some work with your mindset as well. And because your mind and your mindset have a huge impact on your ability to work with computer applications, so in the first half of our session, we are going to be speaking in the positive, talking about what you want in the future. And that means we won't be talking about the negative. What you don't
Meryl, you threw away that line talking about what you want in the future. You rushed it. Ouch. You rushed it, and so people aren't going to be able to understand it. So just go back and say that again, but say it slowly enough that you're not throwing away the line. And speaking to the others, throwing away the line.
Yeah, Dana, it actually began up in the sentence before because I lost track of what I was doing, and then I threw that right away. So let me start with that. I'm going to go back to I'm going to be doing some more for your mindset.
But pause. Speaking to the group, throwing away your line is something from theater and acting class, and it means when you don't give the line that you're supposed to say, it's real impact. You just kind of throw it away. You just kind of mumble it or say it without purpose and meaning. And so since you're on the phone and people can't see your expression or read your lips, you have to be extra clear with your communication. And so if, Meryl, you do find that you've thrown away a line, just say, I'm sorry, let me say that again. Because sometimes I rush my lines on accident. And in real life, you're going to have to say, hold on, let me say that again more clearly, and then say it again.
Okay. Yeah, I appreciate that. Thanks, because sometimes you want to just keep going. The acting training I had, I just keep on going with the lines.
Right, yeah, a little different. So go for it.
Yeah, this is different. This is different. Okay, I'm starting with I'm going and action. I'm going to be doing some work with your mindset as well. Because your mind and your mindset have a huge impact on your ability to work with computer applications. So in the first half of the session, we're going to be speaking in the positive and talking about what you want in the future. We won't be talking about the negative, and we don't want to, and what you don't want from the past. Can I say that again?
You did fine.
Okay, thank you. Moving on. That means, for example, when I ask you for what you want more in application skills, you wouldn't say, because I don't want to feel helpless anymore, or I don't want to feel frustrated anymore. Those are what you don't want. Instead, I only want you to tell me what you do want. I want to feel full of energy. I want to wake up and have the energy to go all through the day. I want to be able to do my skills more efficiently. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
Awesome. And if we slip up, we'll just pause us, I'll just pause us, and we'll just gently redirect. Now, in the second half, you get to tell me everything that is wrong and everything you don't want. So you will have free rein then to talk about the negatives, okay?
Super. Great.
Okay,
pause.
Let's get started.
Pause. Speaking to the group, Meryl's doing a really good job of keeping his voice tone warm and friendly and in that best friend connection style. So I just want to make note that everybody noticed that this is the type of voice tone and energy that we want. Okay, Meryl, keep going.
Awesome. So, Mary, what's one goal you have for your computer skills development?
Well, I really struggle with Excel. I'm so used to, well, I'm a lousy typist, and I'm used to using the
pause.
Yes.
Mary, if you can make your answers almost like one sentence, that would be great. So you can just say, I'm really bad at Excel.
Okay. Oh, I'm really bad at Excel.
I understand. What's one of the skills you want to, with Excel, that you want to get good with?
Excuse me, I did not understand that sentence.
Pause. Meryl, you asked her for a goal, and she said what she didn't want. If you remember, we're supposed to all be talking in the positive.
Oh,
the
thank you.
Half.
Yeah.
So
I should have said, let me pause and say that in a more positive way.
Well, you don't want to say, let me have you say that in a positive way, because you don't want to make them, you really want to avoid the person feeling wrong for having messed up.
Okay.
So the way to correct somebody when they've said a negative instead of a positive in this first half is to say, let me think of how to put this in a sentence for this part of the call. If they said what they didn't want for the goal statement, I would just say what they do want. So I wouldn't ask them to repeat it in the positive for the first sentence here. I would just say, okay, so you want to learn Excel. Is that right? So I would phrase it in the positive, and I'd say, is that right?
Gotcha. Do the tie down.
And then, if it's later on in the first phase and they've said a negative, I'll say, can I pause you for a second? If you didn't have X, what would you have instead? So they said, well, I don't want to be tired anymore. Okay, can I pause you for a second? If you weren't tired anymore, what would you be instead? And notice that I'm saying it in a uptone at the end.
Yes.
And it's kind of a warm and friendly tone. So it's not a teacher correction tone. If you didn't have low energy, what would you have instead? That's a teacher energy. And in this case, we want it to be more joyful and playful. So that's just a note on how to correct people. And by the way, I'm saying this actually for everyone to hear, but I'm also trying to say it slow enough for Heather to write. So before we move on, I'm just wanting to give her enough time to write those things. And then, all right, now let's go back. So, Meryl, all you're going to do is say, you know, so you want to learn Excel, is that right?
Okay. In action. So you want to learn Excel, is that right?
Yes.
All right. What will having that do for you?
I'm
that
sorry.
Will...
Pause. When you... Let me just make an addition to this. I don't know if you're looking at what I'm typing, Meryl, or if you're on your own screen.
I'm doing it right now. Okay.
When you learn Excel, what will having that do for you?
Okay, cool. Back to action again. So when you have Excel, what will having that do for you?
It will make my work happen faster, and life will be easier.
All right. So work can happen faster and life will be easier for you. What will having all of that do for you?
That will get me more relaxed and I'll have more time for myself.
Okay. So when you're more relaxed and having more time for yourself, what will having all of that do for you? I'm really interested in this.
Well, then if I have more time for myself, then I can follow my passion at a faster rate and reach my level of fulfillment better, faster.
Okay. I heard something about passion. So when you're able to have more time to yourself and be more relaxed, you said you'll be able to follow your passion. Did I hear that right?
Yes. Correct.
And that passion is what exactly?
I raise horses.
You raise horses? Awesome. I love horses. That must have been fun for you because I was raised with horses. I can tell
Pause. Meryl, love that you're adding something in to have a moment of extra connection. But that first line that you said, awesome, I love horses, that's perfect. Stop right there. When you add those other two sentences at the end, number one, it's just too long.
Okay.
And it means that you're talking too long rather than allowing the client to be the star. And number two, it did start to make it about you. It started to edge into making the compliment more about you getting to share about you versus saying a little addendum so that the client can feel extra happy.
Yeah. I missed that, but I knew what I was trying to do.
And so okay, let's go back. So she just said she gets to fulfill her passion, which is horses, and she gets more fulfillment.
Right. Okay. So let me just go. I'll just pick it up right from there too. So when you're able to raise horses and have more fulfillment with your passion, what will having all of that do for you?
Pause. She reached her ultimate goal, her highest goal.
That was
it? She named fulfillment. She also named passion. So
right, cool.
We've hit the max point, and you can go to number six.
Okay, cool. So do me a favor for me. Mary, do me a favor. Now, go ahead and close your eyes and imagine you've reached. I got to talk about the Excel, right? My boss.
Yeah, I can take a reach.
This is what I have to, her original goal I have to talk about. Not the passion ring with horses.
You can just name the original goal, or you can name the original goal plus one of their final goals.
Okay. Awesome. So, Mary, I've been winding on this. So, Mary, now go ahead and close your eyes and imagine that you have gotten good with Excel, which will allow you to eventually follow your passion. And I want you to imagine you've done the work, and you've gotten to a place where you have all those things. Fly out into that future, step into that body, in that life, and take your life for a test drive. What's it like out there?
Oh, it's a lot of fun.
I love it.
I'm supposed to
be in your body.
Pause. When the client stops talking, you want to try and catch, you want to try and notice that they have finished talking already so that you can respond quickly enough that they feel held. So when she says, that would be so fun, you say, awesome, and then you go on to the next question. Or you have to say awesome, or say anything, and then go on to the next
question. I didn't know how far she was going to. She was going to continue talking, so I was just trying to read and see when do I actually go in and acknowledge that. So that was the timing on that part was kind of interesting for me. It was so much fun. I thought, okay, she's going to say any more. She's not. When do I say? That's great,
yeah.
Meryl.
The way, Meryl, I'm going to have to ask you, for the sake of time on this call, that when I give the teaching moment. Just say okay, and then we go back into the call, because otherwise we're going to run out of time. And so the learning moment there is if they stop talking, wait a couple beats. If it seems like they're done, you can say awesome. They will continue talking if they have more to say after that. People sometimes will keep talking even after you say awesome, great, they'll keep going. And if they don't, it doesn't matter because you're just going to move into the next two questions, which is what you need to know anyways, which is how does it feel in your body and how does it feel in your emotions?
Okay. Picking up. So, Mary, how does that feel to be in your body?
Meryl, go ahead. Meryl,
my body.
Pause. Meryl, finish the rest of the question.
Okay.
There's actually two more things to say there.
Okay.
We need to
so
give them an example. People rarely know what that means. How does it feel in your body? How does it feel to be in your body? People don't really know what that means often unless you give them the example. Are you standing taller? Do you smile more? Do you feel stronger? So go ahead and finish the whole question out so they can hear the example.
I'll start off. So Mary, how does it feel to be in your body? What's different about your body? Are you feeling tall, standing taller, feeling stronger, smiling more?
Definitely smiling more, feeling more physically relaxed.
That's great. What are the main emotions you feel out there? What's the main feeling? Are you feeling happy, playful, sad, fulfilled?
Fulfillment is part of it, and playful. I have time to play with the baby horses.
Great. I love baby horses. What are other areas of your life that... What are other areas of your life that having the ability to work with Excel and being fulfilled affect you positively?
Pause. That question... you want to read it exactly as it's written, probably. You're adding some words, and it's getting a little bit long and confusing. And in this case, for simplicity... just name their original goal. You don't need to name the other goal.
Okay.
Great.
So Mary, what other areas of life does having, that word having throws me off. What areas of your life does being good with Excel affect you positively?
Well, all areas that require time.
Pause. Meryl, you want to go right into, let me just take this out.
Yeah, that's
it goes right in.
Off.
It goes right. It goes right into the next question.
Okay, let me try it again.
Hold on one sec. Let me reword this for you.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay.
Let me just read this real quick. All right. Starting again. What other areas of your life does having Excel affect positively? For example, your relationships. Let's fast forward. Let's fast forward the movie until you are around your friends. Does having Excel have any positive effect on these relationships in any way?
Let's say...
Yes, let me...
Okay.
You do not want me to answer?
Sorry, Meryl, when you named the goal, you said, does having Excel, and that's not the way that you would say it. You would say something like, does getting better at Excel or mastering Excel or something like that.
I
try to hesitate to use the away from the word master because people feel like they won't be able to master things.
Mm-hmm.
So learning Excel. Let's just say learning Excel.
Okay. Thank you. I'm going to write that down myself. Okay. Thank you. What other areas of life does learning Excel affect positively? Does, for example, your relationships? Let's fast forward to the movie until you are around your friends. Does learning Excel have any positive effect on those relationships in any way?
Yes, it gives me more time for them.
Yeah, more time. That's good. What about 12 romantic partners?
It might give me time to find one.
Okay, that's certainly be an assistance with that. Kids, family. Okay, I'm getting a little bit lost.
I don't have children, and my family is far away.
Okay. Well, let's fast forward to your career in business. Is there any positive effect on your work world?
Yes, because Excel is my work world.
Okay. Tell me about how
pause, pause. So, what is there any positive effect on your work world? And she said, yes, it is my work world. And I said, okay, great. How does it help your work?
Okay, that's better.
Get the clarity from her because she didn't really answer the question. So, actually, get her to answer the question.
Instead of asking the open-ended question, is there any effect on your work world? Great. How does that exactly work for you? I said, there's a better way to say that. Pause, pause. Great. How does Excel help you?
Well, knowing Excel better makes my work smoother, easier, faster. And makes it so much easier that I can relax.
Okay. How about your ability to make income?
Pause, pause. When they answer a question, we don't want to say okay. We want to say something to the affirmative. So awesome, great,
okay.
Cool, yay. And action.
Okay. So you'll be relaxed with Excel. How about your ability to make income with that ability?
Well, the faster I am with Excel, the more comfortable I am with Excel, the more jobs I can get done. And since I'm paid by the job, I will be making more money.
Yes, that makes a lot of sense.
Pause, pause.
Hey, that sounds like
Sometimes when you have gone through the beginning goal phase and they've already told you that it's going to make their work improved, you're going to skip the question about work.
Okay.
Because they kind of already told you the answer earlier in your questions. And so they're going to feel like they're repeating themselves. When your response just now was like, okay, yeah, that's clear. Raf, what did you say? What did he say, Mary? Do you remember?
Not exactly, no.
He said, like, he basically said something like, oh, yeah, that's, like, the meaning of what he said was like, oh, yeah, duh, that's clear. Even though that's not what he said,
yeah.
That's the subtext. And you don't
right.
want to do that because you are putting yourself down in that moment. Almost,
okay.
And or kind of throwing away the answer. Like, yes, she just gave you an answer that's kind of apparent, and you already know. But just say, okay, good. Like, don't make it. You're kind of starting to break rapport with the client by being like, well, that's obvious. Not that you're insulting her, but you're kind of insulting yourself because you just asked a question that seemed redundant. So if that happens, just say good, you know, and then keep going, even though she's already kind of said it earlier. And then speaking to the whole tribe, when you're going through these questions and asking different areas of their life, sometimes you're going to skip an area of life because they've already told you earlier in the question. So just make a mental note that you don't always ask all of these questions if you kind of already feel like you got the answer already.
Dana, that leads to the question here, is that I feel like I have a sense of what she wants for her health. And
we haven't actually covered that yet, though. Not if you have a – okay. The purpose of these questions is not for you to have a sense, simply. Even if you can make a guess what their answer is going to be, that's not the point of the questions. The point of the questions is to make their brain load up the answers and the feelings of how getting this one goal is going to affect multiple areas of their life such that they can see how much more important this goal was than they even realized before they got on this call. Because they didn't
really
think. Most people don't – pause, pause. Most people don't think through how one simple goal is going to affect 50 different things in their life. Like, we don't take the time to think like that because nothing asks us to. So the purpose of these questions is to get the client to have to come up with those answers and realize those things in the moment. And action.
Thank you. How about your health? Let's start with your mental and emotional health.
That's got to improve, because I'd be a lot happier and I would eat less, because I eat out of frustration. And so I expect that I would probably lose weight and feel better. And I would have time to start some sort of exercise program.
Oh, that's great. How about your physical health? Because you just started alluding to that.
Pause. She's already answered physical health. She just... So remember, drop the questions if the client has already given you the answer. So she actually started to answer with emotional health, and then she just, on her own, segued into physical. So now you don't have to ask it. You could say anything else with your physical health, because if you say about your physical health, it's going to feel like her that – pause, Meryl. If you can – thank you for saying yes and gotcha and just single words. Now I'm going to ask you to not say anything until I'm done talking, just so Heather can get a clear, uninterrupted learning moment to write down. So thank you. Just hold on. So if the client already starts to answer the question and then you say something like, how about your physical health? She's going to feel like you didn't listen to her because she just said that. And so instead, if you do want to say something, you can say anything else that it would help in your physical health, or you can just move on because she's kind of already answered it. And
okay,
I'm done. Thanks, Val.
Action and moving on. How important is learning Excel for you right now? On a scale from 1 to 10, where 1 is unimportant and 10 is important, how important is this goal?
I'm so frustrated with Excel, this is a 12.
Sorry, I'm not
supposed to. Okay, good.
But that's what I would actually do in that moment. And if somebody says above a 10 or something cute like that, I definitely recommend you giggle with them.
That was easy. Okay. So, okay, 12, okay. And is this something that's important for you to start working on and fixing right now, or is this something you want to work on later?
No, this is a right now. I need this information.
Okay. Mary, we're going to break the positive word.
Sorry, pause. When somebody names that this goal is important, that it's like near a 10 and it's also a front burner, say something like, okay, good, we found a juicy one, or okay, good, we've got an important one. It's kind of reflecting back and reaffirming to them that we have located a really important goal. And that's just sidebar psychologically. One, you're reflecting back to them something that's important to them that they just said was important, so that's going to psychologically feel good to them that you're acknowledging what they just said. And number two, you are helping to bookmark in their mind the importance of this goal, because later on when you offer your packages, you're about to offer a solution to something that's really important to them. So you might as well punctuate, wow, good, we found an important goal. Excellent. Because now we're bookmarking, this is something you really want. And that helps with sales later.
Thank you.
And thank you.
So I could say something effective. Wow, this is really a front burner. It's really good to know.
Yeah. I usually don't say that line from the receiving end as if it's like oh, that's really interesting or good information. That's good for me to know. I don't know why that's not where I would necessarily guide you, as opposed to just being more in what I might call a leadership stance when you say the line, rather than sort of a receiving stance when you say the line. If that makes any sense. I want you to almost affirm that we found a good one, rather than be like, oh, okay, we found a good one. I mean, I don't know. I can see the usefulness in both. But I want you to say it with more power. If you're going to say it in the receiving stance, then say, oh, excellent, we found an important one. That's good for me to know. Say it with full power rather than, that's good for me to know, and starting to fade at the end there. So say it with more intention and power.
Got it. Let me do that just to make sure I'm on the right track with that. Okay, Mary, that's great. That's really something we're definitely need to know, and we're going to work on that for sure.
Pause.
Okay.
You cannot.
That's too many words?
Well, one, it is too long, and number two, you cannot allude to that you guys are going to work together yet because you're leaning in too soon for the kiss. Think of this as a first date. This is a first date, and the kiss is when you ask them to sign up for a package. Now, you've just started a first date with Mary. She's a stranger. She showed up for your free consult. You're only 20 minutes into the call. You're not going to lean in for the kiss because nobody would do that. So do not allude to that you guys are going to work together. Number one, you're going to scare the client away because they're going to feel pressured. Number two, you need to also stay in the stance that you're not sure if you're going to work with this client, because this call is not only for you to feel them out, but them to feel you out, but you to feel them out.
Okay, great. So, I'm trying to think of what else is. Okay, great. That's a really important thing to have learned. Would that be fair to say?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear what you said. I couldn't make out what you said.
Great, that is really important to have learned.
No, I would actually aim you away from that as well.
Okay.
I would just say, great, we found an important one.
Okay. I understand that exactly.
Yeah.
Okay. Great, we found an important one. Okay, so we're going to break the positive words for just a moment. If you don't do something about this right now, what are the bad things that can happen or will happen?
Well, mostly I won't improve my income at all. I will stay stuck and frustrated and fat.
Oh, my goodness, Mary, you're awesome. And, Meryl, that is such a point to laugh. She's being kind of, I mean, to be honest, yeah. But she's also, it's cute as hell. Like, let the laughter be there because it's a super good connector. Oh, Mary, that was awesome.
Thank you.
Well, we wouldn't want you to be fat.
Ooh, pause. We're not going to make jokes about fat. Sorry.
Okay.
Even if they're being cute with fat, never make a fat joke back. It's kind of like don't tease someone else about their mom. Only they can talk about their mom.
Right.
So anytime someone makes a joke about something negative about themselves, do not repeat the joke. Only they can say something negative about themselves. You can just laugh. You can even say you're hilarious and then move on. Okay. Let's go on to the next goal.
Oh, you are hilarious. All right, well, let's go on to the next goal. What's another goal you have around Excel? Or is it around Excel, or do I want to say computer training?
Computer training.
Okay. What's another goal you have around computer training?
Well, I struggle with Word as well, Microsoft Word.
Okay. I want to take you through the same thing. I'm getting my computer slow here for a moment. Sorry about that.
Okay.
We'll come back. Okay, so you're struggling with Word, and you would like to get good with, you would like to learn Word better.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. What will having that do for you?
Pretty much like Excel. It will make work so much smoother and easier, and it'll give me more time for my life.
Pause. Okay. Meryl, with your particular business, because their goals might all be about learning a computer application, their answers are, you just heard Mary say, their answers are going to be pretty much the same all the way down.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
I just, with your, this isn't true of everyone's business, but with your business in particular, if you ask that first question and they start to repeat what they've already said, then you don't need to go any further in the line of questions. You can go all the way down to, who's breathing on their microphone? It's really loud. If you can move your microphone from out of your nose, or from under your nose, everyone, just so we can make sure that, thank you. Let me see. We can skip all that. Okay, you're going to go to question 15, Meryl. In the instances where somebody's going to have the same answers, they're going to be the same answers all the way down because it's a computer app. So just go and figure out how important it is to them. Just do 15 and 16. You don't need to do, well, maybe you can do 17 because maybe the way that they relate to Word is slightly different than Excel because they are two different, they are used for two different things. So you can try out 15, 16, 17.
Okay. Do I need a 17 to put in, since we were just talked about the positive words, do I need to put that precursor in, or can I just go right into, if you don't do something about that right now?
I am sorry, Meryl. I could not make out what you said. Can you slow down, love?
Yes. What I said was, in question 17, rather than putting the precursor about, okay, we're going to break the positive words for a moment.
Oh, right.
Can you repeat that again?
I like to, you don't have to repeat it exactly as written, but I like to only in that I want the client to remember we're still in the positive word segment. So I would say, again, I'm going to break the positive word thing for a minute the next time I got to it.
Gotcha. Okay. All right, we're going to pick up and we're at number 15. So how important is learning Word for you right now on a scale from 1 to 10? Where 1 is important, 10 is what is unimportant and 10 is important. How important is this goal to you?
This one's probably about an 8. I have a better grasp of Word than I do of Excel, but I still struggle.
Okay.
Pause.
Good.
If she gave an explanation of why it was an 8. Other people don't.
Right.
Sometimes you will want to ask, oh, what makes it an 8?
Okay.
Or, oh, there's two questions you can ask. Oh, what makes it an 8? Or, oh, what would make it a 10? Or, either of those is fine. So sometimes that can
be. You want me to just go ahead or ask those questions?
Let me tell everyone why that's important. You as a practitioner want to know what are the most important goals to your client. You also want to know why certain other goals are more on the back burner, and you want to figure out whether or not it's something that's going to block your guys' work together. So sometimes people say things like, it's an 8 because I don't want to tackle that until I move house, and I don't move house for 3 months. So you need to know that information so that later on when you go to the part where you're making your offer for your packages, you focus on Excel and you don't talk about Word because she doesn't want to learn Word until 3 months from now. So that's why it's good to know why things are not a 10, because sometimes it's going to change what you focus on by the time that you're in phase two, as well as, and that doesn't mean you wouldn't explore what's important about Word when you get to phase two. It just means that you're going to have a heavier focus on Excel, and by the time you get to offering your packages, you're going to be talking Excel to her. You're not going to bring up Word, really. In fact, if you got to your sales packages, you might mention, like, you know, when you get to the part where you say, yeah, I work with people for a 6-month minimum, so probably for the first month or two or three, we'd be focusing on Excel, and then after that, we can dive into Word.
Okay. Great. Let me only add that question then on that part. Mary, you just said that Word was number 8. What would make it a 10?
Being proficient with Excel, and then polish 10. Polish Word.
Pause. Mary gave you an answer as to why it was 8. I said that you use those questions when people don't give you an answer. She said, I already know Word better than I know Excel. So that's why I rated Excel a 10 and Word only an 8. So she basically said her need is higher around Excel, more urgent.
That's all I need then.
So, yeah, that's all you needed. You can go to the next question, number 16.
Okay. And is this something important for you to start working on and fixing right now, or is this something you want to work on later?
Word? No, I can work on Word later.
Okay. Great.
And you can clarify here. So that means Excel's the most important, and after you start having some of that under your belt, then you want to focus on Word? Just to make sure that you understand that that's kind of the order she's talking about.
Yes, when she gave a response, I didn't think 17 was appropriate then, because she basically just said that, you know, this is not an immediate thing. So I want to just honor that response.
Sure, you can skip 17, absolutely. It's an optional question anyhow. So let's check one more goal. Check for one more goal.
All right. Mary, what's another goal you have around computer skills and technology?
Well, staying with the Microsoft Office suite, I have a curiosity about PowerPoint and how I might use it. I've never ventured into PowerPoint.
Okay. How important is that for you right now?
Let's
go from 1 to 10,
not,
1 being unimportant.
That's not important at all. It's just a curiosity.
Okay. Good. Thank you for that. So let's turn our attention to how it is now. I'd like to go over the goal one by one, each of your goals. And now, Dana, I already know, but pause. I already know that she's really just focused on Excel. Do I want to see each goal anyway?
Yes. Because Word is still something that she wants to learn. She said the only reason she gave it an 8 is because she just wants to learn Excel first. She didn't say she doesn't want to learn Word at all. And she said she's curious about PowerPoint. And so maybe she doesn't understand what PowerPoint can do for her business yet. So in phase 2, when you're pulling out root causes of what's slowing her down in her business, you might be able to educate her on what PowerPoint can do, and she might completely turn around and be like, ooh, I want to learn PowerPoint before Word even, because I do video marketing, and this would be a way for me to not have to put my face on camera, and I can just make PowerPoint slides, and that would make me much more comfortable with doing video marketing. I don't have to put on my makeup. So she might not even know the power of PowerPoint yet, which is why you would still say all your goals.
Gotcha. Thank you very much for explaining that.
Yeah.
So, repeating. So, Mary, so let's turn our attention to how it is now. Let's go over each goal one by one and hear how it is right now and what the patterns of the past have been. And we can use as many negatives as you want right now. So, how is it now with Excel?
Horrible. Very frustrating.
What are some of the challenges you usually run into?
I hit keys and it does something that I'm not expecting, and I have trouble undoing it and doing what I want it to do.
Hmm. How is it getting in the way of your business? Your life and your business?
It makes me really slow, and so it takes forever to get a project done. And since I'm paid by the project, I'm not making as much as I know I could if I understood the program better.
Okay. When you tried to learn this in the past, what happened?
Well, in the past, there was a big delay between learning it and using it, and I think that was the problem. I need to use it while I need to learn it while I'm using it, which now I'm using it, so it's the proper time to learn it.
Okay, so when you tried to learn XML in the past, you didn't immediately use it. What else was hard about that learning?
Pause. When we ask questions, it can be useful to be in a lighter tone and perhaps even use a little bit of uptones at the end, or else it'll feel to the client like we are grilling them and they're in a, what is that called?
Interrogation.
Thank you.
Sorry about that, Mary.
lighter, warmer tones, and it'll feel like you're with her in an exploration.
Okay, I'm going to try that again. So, Mary, when you try to learn things in the past, and you didn't get a chance to use it, other than just not using it immediately, what else was hard about learning?
Nice.
Well, I was in a class situation, and they went beyond my level before the class was over. So they went too fast.
Oh, wow. That must have been really frustrating. Sorry to hear that. What else triggers your frustration?
Pause. Meryl, that's actually a moment for one of your mini stories.
Okay.
Because I happen to know your mini stories, which is why I know that this is a time for a mini story. You have an experience of having worked with a client in the past who took a class, and the class went much faster than he could keep up with, and it frustrated him, and he gave up. And once he worked with you, you could customize the learning to his pace. And so the segue into that is something like you can say, "You did a great job of, wow, that must have been so frustrating." And she's like, "Yeah, absolutely." And you can say something like, and that's not uncommon, "I once worked with a guy," that's the beginning of your mini story.
I love it. I can tell my mini stories myself. You know my mini stories better than I do at the moment.
So speaking to Heather, a good segue for the beginning of a mini story is sometimes the sentence, "You know, that's not uncommon." Or, "I hear that from a lot of people I work with."
Okay, I'm pulling up my memory for you. Oh, yes. Okay, picking that up again.
What?
I'm just picking that up again. I was trying to find the right story here. We have so many of them. Oh, you know, Mary, that's not uncommon. I once worked with many people get into a classroom, they get overwhelmed, they can't keep following up a little bit. I'm going to say that again because I'm missing them, swallowing my words.
Okay.
Try again. You know, Mary, that's not uncommon. I have many clients who have worked and tried to learn Excel in a classroom, and it's not at all infrequent for them to get lost because information is coming at them so fast. I once worked with a chiropractor who needed to keep track of client data and payments and took an Excel class, felt lost, overwhelmed by how quickly the teacher taught each skill, and then just moved on. And he was told he needed to practice the Excel at home and to really learn it, but that didn't help. And when he worked with me, we got to find his white space, repeat the things as many times as he needed, and he was able to track his client data and make sure he got paid. And he felt on top of the world, moving with all the moving parts were now under his control.
That sounds wonderful.
I'm curious, when you were younger,
pause. When she says, that sounds wonderful, you want to follow up with a support sentence of some kind, like, yeah, they loved it. Yeah, he loved it.
Yes.
For example.
Yeah, he absolutely loved it. And, you know, I'm curious, when you were younger, how did your parents and teachers respond if you made a mistake or got overwhelmed and forgot things that you may have learned just once?
Pause. That question asks two different questions. If you can ask one at a time, please.
Okay. We'll have to rewrite that question then.
Just the first half.
So I'm curious. When you were younger, how did your parents and teachers respond if you made a mistake?
My parents treated it as if it was a sin. The teachers were a little more lenient.
How was it when you forgot things?
Pause. She just said something really painful. She said something really weighty. She said, my parents treated it as a sin. And so I heard you make an empathy sound. That was good, right? And then before you go on to the next question, perhaps say an empathy short sentence or even just an explanation of why you asked. So, for example,
thanks for sharing, because a lot of times those feelings get triggered when we work together, and it's really helpful for me to know that.
Pause. You don't want to say that those feelings get triggered when we work together, because you're now saying that she's going to...
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay, I do it. Well, thanks for sharing. It's really helpful to know that. What about when you forgot things?
Pause. Don't make it about you. It's really helpful to know that makes it about you. Let's actually have you drop that sentence from your repertoire when you do these calls. And instead, let me actually try to come up with an example so that you can hear what I'm searching for. Let me see. I have to replay what Mary said in my head. My parents treated it as a sin, and my teachers are more lenient. Ouch, that sounds intense. Could be an empathy sentence. And you could possibly say, this is where you'd segue, Meryl, into whenever any of us is trying to learn something, the way that our mistakes were treated in childhood often ends up being a block to how easy it is to learn as an adult. And something that's really important to create in the learning space is a real sense of spaciousness.
I love it.
And
I love
mistakes.
It.
And so that's one of the things that I always try to create when I'm working with someone, because it makes learning so much faster.
Okay, I want to repeat all of that. That's going to be great. So Mary just said, made it feel like a sin. Mary, that sounds really intense. And, you know, those kind of experiences impact us as adults when we start learning. And one of the things that we try to do in the training here is create a place where you have the emotional freedom to learn at your pace and at your comfort. And that's really important for critical skill sets to be developed, especially when you're talking about working with computers, which can be initially intimidating if you haven't found the ways to work around it. And we do that here.
Very good. I'm going to pause for a second. You did a great job repeating and re-encapsulating what I said. It got a little bit wordy towards the end when you said, like, learning computer-based skills, and then you said something else after that. That part got a little bit long.
Mm-hmm.
With I don't know, it was almost like technical detail, but you started to throw away the line, and we do that here. You said it a little bit softer, not as much power. I'd actually want you to punctuate that line.
Okay. Gotcha. So get it shorter and conciser and more of an impact.
Yeah, because that's actually probably the most important line to, you know, of everything that you just said is to wrap up what you just said by saying, and that's something that I really make important, or that's something that I focus a lot
here
on.
Right.
Or that's something, you know, however you're going to say it.
Gotcha. Yep. But short and punchy, right to the point.
Yeah.
Okay. Have you or other family members, do I want to use this word technophobes? Is that a good word we want to use? Maybe else, no one else has this on their script, but the word you and I worked out.
Yeah. You can ask that question and then define technophobe. So you'd say, have you or anyone in your family ever been a technophobe, meaning uncomfortable or nervous around learning technology?
Okay, cool. So have you or in your family?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Okay. So Mary, have you or any of your family members been what we call a technophobe, that is uncomfortable learning technology?
Yes, I'm older, so technology is brand new to me, and the rest of my family is the same.
Wow, so it can be really challenging for you.
Pause. Do you have a mini story that relates to technophobe?
I was actually going to go
technophobia?
Into that.
Okay, great.
Yeah, it was going to be a kind of education and then the technophobia piece of it, too. So I was going to say, that's kind of a challenging for many people. We can actually almost inherit this allergic reaction to technology. So don't feel bad that technology can be a challenge. You don't want to blame yourself. When you find a good mentor and a tech who's really comfortable with the skill sets, you will become comfortable and familiar, and the technology will eventually become familiar like the back of your hand. And, you know, I had a client, actually the same chiropractor, is very uncomfortable learning QuickBooks, and I actually teach QuickBooks as well. But he was just not able to keep up with the video training that was online. And so I created for him a very simple PowerPoint slides and information that he could quickly go through, and it was just broken in little baby steps. And afterwards, he felt he could learn everything. And that's how we began to teach, because I found what he needed, and he really, really kind of caught into that. And I'm losing this whole word, so I am getting off on another line here. When he worked with me, he just got into a place where he was comfortable. And that's what we did. We started providing job aids that made things a lot easier for him. Would that be something of interest to you?
Pause. Two reasons for pauses. One, we don't want to ask if that would be interesting to her, I don't think. It puts her on the spot.
Okay.
It's almost, again, leaning in for the kiss too soon.
Okay.
Because it's almost a question of like, hey, so do you want to work together? Kind of is a subtext.
Got it.
A little bit. And I'm wondering, we may need to shorten that whole thing. One, you'll want to try to, right now, stick to reading it as close as possible to the way it's written.
Okay.
So that
it
doesn't go on for too long. And
right.
Number two, we might actually want to shorten that because that felt like a really long diatribe.
Yeah. And part of the reason is I couldn't find the page. All right, so anyway... Yeah, then I also want some feedback on what I'm saying here, too, because, again, it's making it sound like more like me. I'm speaking more about myself. But the mini story was this. I have a special talent working with beginners. And I work with that same chiropractor who wanted to learn QuickBooks, but was put off by the technical terms, and he felt intimidated with all the dialog boxes. So I created a customized reference sheet for him each week and taught him step-by-step how everything worked. And he now knows how to use QuickBooks. So painlessly that he manages his own practice and feels in control of the finances.
Meryl, I couldn't make out what you were saying for most of the story.
Okay.
And
myself,
so,
yeah.
You're just talking too fast.
Okay, thank
one
you.
One is talking. Yeah, is that one's talking too fast? The other is, can you use more voice and less breath? I don't know if that works.
Okay.
If that computes or not. Maybe
no,
just slowing
I
down.
That.
I just want to give you one thing to do at a time. Let's just start with slowing down.
I'm sorry. Can you say that again, Dana?
Let's just have you slow down. I only want to give one instruction at a time, so let's just start with slowing down.
Okay. All right. So sliding into that mini story. I have a special talent working with beginners. I once worked with the same chiropractor I mentioned to you earlier who wanted to learn QuickBooks but was put off by all the technical terms and felt intimidated with all the dialogue boxes. So I created a customized reference sheet for him, and each week I taught him step by step how everything worked, and he now knows how to use QuickBooks so painlessly to manage his practice, and now he feels in control of his finances.
Good.
And okay, pause. You'll need to add a sentence there to bring it back to her, because she just said good, because
mm-hmm.
that story made it sound like if we end it without a segue back to her, it makes it sound like you're talking about yourself, and then she doesn't know what to say, so she says, good. So a segue back to her would be something like, let me see. What was the reason we brought up this? Oh, technophobe.
Because she was frustrated. We were
so
talking about...
At the end of the mini story, go back
mm-hmm.
to whatever talk point you guys were talking about, which you're going to know what the talk point is based on the last question you asked. The last question you asked was about technophobia. So your segue sentence at the very end, just repunctuate whatever her concern was. So you asked a question about, are you or anyone else you know in your family a technophobe? She said, yes, I'm a technophobe, and so is everyone else, because I'm older and technology is new to all of us. So when you finish that mini story, you can say, so even with the biggest discomfort around learning technology, people can absolutely learn it when it's broken down in small steps.
Got it. Big segue. I'm just writing this out. I'll finish that last sentence and use the segue. He now knows how to use QuickBooks so painlessly that he manages his practice and feels in control of his finances. So even if you are uncomfortable with the most intimidating type of technology, if it's broken down into little baby steps, anybody can learn how to work with technology.
Good. Glad to hear it.
Great. So, I'm just looking at some of these questions. I'm breaking character for a moment. Danny, do I want to continue with what makes you want to throw in the towel again? I mean, we sort of getting in that area, or did we not? Do we need to go further with this?
Did she already answer what makes her? It's hard for me to keep track of everything that's been said because I'm just trying to pay really close attention to teaching moments. So has
right.
Mary, well, both anyone, has Mary already answered what makes her want to give up?
Not specifically.
No, not specifically either, okay? I was just trying to, I get easily lost myself. I'm going to pick up with
so
that question.
In real life, when you're looking through your question section and you need to take a pause like this, you can say, hold on just a sec. Let me take a look at my questionnaire. I want to see what other important things we need to cover. And then that buys you time to look for the next question.
Thank you.
You can also say things like, hold on a sec, let me just look at my notes, or hold on a sec, let me just look at my form.
Great. Okay, picking up on that question. So what makes you want to throw in the towel?
All of it. The frustration of the computer and having it do something I didn't intend. But I can't just throw in the towel because I have to make a living and this is what I'm doing.
I understand. What has made learning things in
pause. This is where you want to pay attention to what their answer is in case there's a follow-up question that you want to ask versus just moving on to the next question. So you asked her what makes her want to throw in the towel. She said, I think she said something like, so many things, but I can't.
She said everything.
Yeah, but I can't because this is how I have to make a living. So personally, I get curious if I'm going to be helping this client. I want to know, well, what the heck does she do then when she gets frustrated? She gets completely frustrated, yet she can't stop. Then, well, so what? Like, how does she deal with that? So I might ask something like, so then what do you do when you get frustrated? What happens?
Okay. Yeah. And I wanted to go there, but I wasn't sure how far I should be moving along with the script. I definitely want to kind of like respond to where she's at. So
good question, Mel.
Yeah.
Remember that in this section, let me think of how to name the strategy here. So the purpose of phase two is for the both of you to get clear on what's holding her back. You want to, number one, name root causes and have her write them down. So some of the things that we could have had her write down already are technophobia in herself and the family is one of the root causes of why people struggle. So, Mary, if you could write that down. Uncomfortable with technology tends to be one of our learning blocks. So, Meryl, you can talk about things like learning blocks. Another is the way that we were raised around mistakes. So, Mary, one of your a different learning block is that your parents treated mistakes as a sin. You could write that down. You know, parents treated mistake as sin. And then a third learning block is getting frustrated with everything. But we don't actually know how she handles that yet, so that's why I want to ask the follow-up question of, so what do you do when you get frustrated? Because if you can't stop, then what?
Can I ask for a specific example from her? So in other words, when she said everything, I asked her, I said, what makes you want to throw in the towel? She said, oh, everything. I said, can you give me a specific example?
Sure.
So, Mary, I'll ask that question of you.
Okay.
Can you give me a specific example when you want to throw in the towel?
Well, when I've misspelled something and I try and just erase that, my habit is to hit the backspace key and then I go to a whole nother cell. So I wind up typing in the wrong cell and then I it's very frustrating. I just start over.
And do you use a mouse to start over, Chris? Or do you use a keyboard?
I work on a laptop, so it's mostly keyboard.
Okay. Thank you. So we would be focusing primarily on keyboard techniques for you, correct?
Yeah. Keyboard, I use a touchpad too.
Okay. Has working with a keyboard in the past made it hard for you to learn?
No, not especially.
Okay.
Pause. I'm actually getting a little bit lost, and I don't know if it's because I can't hear clearly or not. Meryl, did you ask her if she uses – I think you asked her if she uses her keyboard or her mouse. She said, I use my keyboard. Then you asked what?
Yes.
If she used keyboard shortcuts?
Has learning keyboard – have learning computers on the keyboard been difficult for her? Because that would tell me if it's a whole different kind of teaching I would have to do.
I'm not even sure what that question means. Just for clarity's sake, can you explain what you're asking?
I asked her. I said, "Do you learn when you?" She was explaining to me the situation where she get lost on going to a cell, and she tries to go back on the cell. And I asked her, "Did she use a mouse or a keyboard?"
So the thing that you're asking is she comfortable? Sorry, I'm getting really lost. Mary, what was the question that I just asked him? Can you remember?
Well, I think you didn't hear him ask if I was comfortable learning keyboard techniques.
Okay. Meryl, can you specifically change that question to, are you comfortable learning keyboard shortcuts?
Okay.
Can you change the phrasing so that it matches the actual thing you teach, but also just for clarity on what you mean by learning on the keyboard? I think learning on the keyboard is unclear versus if you said, do you already use keyboard shortcuts? Do you know them? That would give you some information.
Okay. Okay.
And pause for a minute. For the sake of time, I want to get to phase three. And so I can see that phase two is getting watered down with each of you need to clarify your purpose of what it is you're trying to uncover when you ask questions in phase two. Because those questions are meant to lead you to be able to call out a root cause and then use a mini story.
Got it.
So you want to think strategically about your questions in phase two so that the questions you're asking help you locate their problems, and then you're going to name the root cause, have them write it down so they have a list in front of them of all the problems. And then be able to tell some mini stories. And I can't tell if we're watered down because we keep pausing and taking learning breaks, and so it doesn't feel like there's a logical flow to these questions. Maybe there is, and I just can't see it because we're pausing and starting and stopping. I'm not sure. So this is something we're going to have to come back and look at with maybe another person or maybe with Meryl again. I'm not sure. So let's move on to phase three.
Okay. So, Mary, if I can help you with getting good with Excel, Word, and answering your curiosity with PowerPoint, is that something you'd be curious about?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. Great to hear. Are you by your computer now?
Pause. Great to hear makes it about you. Just say great.
Okay. Great. Gotcha. Great. Are you by your computer now?
Yes, I am.
Okay. I'm going to email you my specialty list. And let me know when you have it open.
Okay.
Okay. So, let's send that to her. So since we only have a little bit of time today, and we can't cover everything that could be addressed or that could be useful for you, I'm sorry, let me retry that again. Let's throw it away. Since we only have a little bit of time today, we can't cover everything that could be addressed or could be useful to you. That's why I have this specialty list. And this is a list of all the different things I do for people. So don't worry, this is not the time for you to make a decision or a choice. Right now, I just want us to employ your intuition or your gut instinct. So when you're looking at this list, don't read the description, just go with the bolded titles. And please say out loud the things that capture your interest or grab your attention or curiosity. Should I have sent this to her?
We don't have time for that now. I wanted to learn the Microsoft Word, or the Microsoft Office, I'm sorry, Suite. And that really is my primary focus.
The Microsoft Office.
But,
okay.
Oh, by the way, the Microsoft Office Suite will be on his specialties list. So you would have probably just said Word, Excel, PowerPoint. And there's other stuff on there that you might have said as well. You're not looking at it, right, Mary?
No.
Okay. So she would have just said that. Let's just pretend she said that.
Okay. Okay, so let me just see here. The Word, Excel, PowerPoint.
By the way, I'm sorry, pause. Does Mary, Heather, everyone else, are you okay with being on right now, or does anybody need to go?
No, I've
I'm
got
fine.
Time.
Everyone's okay?
Yes.
Okay. Sorry. Mary, I heard you say we don't have time for that, and I thought maybe you had to go. So, all right. Never mind.
Okay.
Back to where we were.
Okay. So I'm writing down, I wrote down all the things that she said, and I'm picking up on the supplemental.
What? I'm sorry, Meryl, can you slow down?
I said I'm writing everything. I've written everything down she said after we've gone through that piece here. I'm coming to the supplemental question.
Oh. Yeah,
and
you can ask her.
Okay. Should there be a segue into that? Because it feels kind of strange. And if we were together.
Yeah, hold on, let me look. So what are some of the things that will happen if you don't do anything about this right now? That was already question 17 from above, so I'm just going to delete that supplemental question from this area. And let me change the order of these supplemental questions. So this site... Starting with this other supplemental question works as an easy segue. Let's start with that one.
Right. So, Mary, I'm also choosy about who I work with. So I'd like to take a moment and ask you a question to see if you would be someone I would want to work with. And basically, I like to work with people who help others to succeed. Whatever I teach them, they'll turn around and help others. What type of charities do you or would you support?
Well, I have three charities that I support as regularly as I can. One is Equine Research. The second is an international women's support group. And the third is Habitat for Humanity.
I'm sorry, the phone was ringing and throwing me off. I apologize for that.
What would you say in real life, Meryl?
In real life when a phone was ringing?
Yeah, I want you to treat this just like it's a real call. So what would you actually say if that happened just now?
The call's coming trying
to
get through right now.
You just said, sorry, the phone threw me off. And then say what you would actually say in real life.
Yeah. I'm sorry, Mary. I was getting a phone call and I'm being thrown off by this. Can I say that one more time?
I'm sorry, I didn't catch your question.
I said, I'm sorry, I had a phone ringing and while you were speaking. I couldn't hear what you said. Can I get you to say it one more time?
Sure. Yeah, I have three charities that I support as regularly as I can. One is Equine Research. The second is an international women's support organization. And the third is Habitat for Humanity.
Those are all very worthwhile organizations. And thank you for sharing. If we were to work together,
Okay. If somebody doesn't have a charity here, I don't want you to make them wrong. So some people don't already support charities. So you would say, how about people that you might help then? When you are more successful in your business and you have more money, are there some people in your life that you would help out? So this is just an addendum to that question, just to make sure that you have enough space or spaciousness in the question for everybody to have some way to help others out.
Give me a chance to save space in there.
So I kind of just changed how the question is written to reflect that. And action.
Those are all really worthwhile, Charity. Thank you for sharing, Mary. If we were to work together...
Pause.
Okay.
Sorry, I forgot the other teaching point. This is not a moment to say thank you for sharing. This is your question to test whether or not they're a person that you would want to help on the planet. You're trying to make sure that there's somebody who, if you help them, they're going to end up helping someone else. And so you want to say something to the effect of that when they finish talking. So you can say something like that. That's awesome. Good. That's what I look for in people is they are going to help others if I help them. So I'm glad to hear all those things.
Yeah, that's great. That's exactly what I'm looking for there, too. Just write this down. Okay, thank you. That's great. That is exactly, that's great. That's what I look for. And I like to make sure that everybody's paying something forward. If we were to work together, what are some of the things you see yourself getting out of this?
Well, a lot less frustration, I guess, to keep it a positive, more relaxation, and just a better, smoother workflow.
Pause. And Meryl, just to help the question out, remember to stay in up tones and warm tones when you ask questions.
Okay. So that should be asked something like saying, if we want to work together, what are some of the things you look for?
You said it so fast I couldn't make out what you said. And
Slow it down.
If we work together, what are the things you see yourself getting out of it?
Okay, got it. So if we work together, what are some of the things you see yourself getting out of it?
A much smoother workflow, more relaxed.
Okay. That's great. Great. That is awesome. That's usually
okay. Great.
The
so
goal
now
of
I'm gonna.
Okay. So just fly right into that. Okay. Okay. Great. So now I'm going to send you my menu, which contains the different ways people work with me, and let me know when you have that open.
Okay.
I'm going to sit and grab my package here and just slide it to you. Very deep in here.
Mm-hmm.
thought about this and trying to look at my package. I have it. Bear with me, my computer's a little slow.
Meryl, you can just make it up for the purpose. She's not looking
okay.
at it with
yeah.
us, so.
Yeah. So, Meryl, you can see on the packages, we have both a group and individual group. Look in there. I just I'm going to say it right now. I just went through it.
Remember, let me say it. Well, unless you're happy to say it, start from the top. Describe the
okay.
top, the middle, then the bottom.
Okay, perfect. Top, middle, and bottom.
Pause. Do you want me to just say a fake one?
Yeah, if you will, tonight.
Okay.
I don't have anything here.
So, Mary, the accelerated package is meeting once a week for a 45-minute call. You also get the bonus gift of my cheat sheet for Excel, my cheat sheet for Word, and my cheat sheet for PowerPoint. The middle one, which is the Platinum package, we meet once every other week, and you get all the same three cheat sheets. And then the Gold package is a group course. So it's a weekly group call where I'll be teaching about Excel and Microsoft and PowerPoint. And you get the bonus of one of the cheat sheets. So which of these are you attracted to?
Well, I need to learn this in a hurry, so I'm mostly attracted to the once a week, but because I'm not making much money, I think it would be a real stretch to even go with the middle package.
Meryl, that's you.
Okay, so you want to pick up. All right.
So
okay, that makes sense.
I know the middle package will help me, and the more I work with you, the sooner I can afford it, and the sooner that I'm assuming that you'll let me upgrade if I can.
Absolutely. And all the packages can be customized for you. So the packages you see here are merely a jumping off point. And we can actually customize a package specifically for your needs.
Well, that sounds fabulous.
Great. So here's how we would start. We can book our first session. You want
pause,
to go to
pause.
The calendar?
Have I missed something, or has she made a choice?
Yeah, I made a choice.
You did make a choice.
I picked the middle package, yes.
Oh, I thought you said that you couldn't quite afford the middle package.
Yeah, I said it was going to be a stretch.
Ah, okay.
But
she said she wanted to go with the middle package.
Okay, great.
The middle package would soon pay for itself. And
excellent.
Maybe even an upgrade.
Perfect.
It's
okay.
Herself.
My bad.
So I just said, let's
keep
go
going.
To book a session. Okay, so let's go to the calendar and book it. What date works for you?
Actually,
I would
Tuesday afternoons are best for me.
Okay. You want to do about 3:00?
Yeah, that would work.
All right, let's do that for 3:00. So next, I'm going to send you a welcome email, and it will have all the details of your package and a few things for you to fill out.
Okay.
And what I'm going to need from you is your credit card. What type of card would you like to put this on?
I have a Visa.
All right, great. Give me just a moment. Get all that information. Do I talk you through that whole thing, Dana, or do we just want to skip
that? Do the whole thing like it's real, babe.
Okay. So you're doing a Visa card, and let's start with the number first. If you go a little slowly for it, make sure I have it down right.
Okay. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Do you have an expiration date?
Is that right, Meryl? Ask, is that right?
Oh, is that right?
Yes,
did I read that correct?
Did
I get that right?
Yes, you got it correct.
Perfect. And you have your date, expiration date?
January 17th.
Okay. You have a security code on the back?
395.
January 17th, security code 395.
Yes.
Okay. So you're going to get that email, that welcome email I mentioned to you. Remember to sign the client agreement.
Okay.
And, of course, you have. And then thank you for sharing your, let me repack it. That's what Meryl Foley is all going into the paragraph. So remember to sign your client agreement. So thank you for taking the time to speak. Again.
Oh, you were very muffled there for a while. I could not tell what you were saying.
Okay, I'm going to repeat the sentence again. So you're going to get the welcome email from me, and just remember to sign the client agreement.
Will do.
Okay. Thank you for taking the time to share your story and goals with me. I'm really excited to be working with you, and thank you for your trust and for sharing what's been holding you back. Because that helps me get to the bottom of it and figure out how we can get you exactly what you want with Excel. And so I'll send you that welcome email today, and I'll see you on Tuesday at 3 o'clock.
Sounds wonderful. I can't wait.
Sounds good.
You have a good day now. Bye-bye.
And you too. Thank you for everything.
Oh, you're most welcome.
Great. A couple of teaching points. One is, after you get the card number and the expiration date, say something like perfect or wonderful or something in the affirmative and cheerful.
Okay.
I just added that into the script. And and I'm going to change the sentence to please. You're going to get a welcome email from me. Please sign the client agreement right away so we can get started on Tuesday or whatever day, right? So I'm just changing the phrasing of that a little bit. And good. So, all right. I'm going to open our microphones for questions. So what questions do folks have?
Not much. I have a kind of a word picture. I've never taken an acting class, so the part about throwing your line away was Greek to me until you explained it. But I watch a lot of documentaries, and
mm-hmm.
I've actually been reading aloud on a conference call, and at first I realized that I was reading too fast, and I make a joke about my tongue getting wrapped around my eye teeth and I can't see what I'm saying. But all in all, what it is copying the documentaries, what I've learned just observing into what I'm reading, you have to slow down and make pauses.
Yeah. There's two ways to slow things down for clarity. One is actually to speak the words slower, and the other one is to just take pauses in between each segment of the sentence.
Yeah.
So you can say, thank you for taking time to share your story and your goals with me. So it's kind of inserting some pauses as well. Any other questions?
I was going to ask a question about, well, on the agreement, when you're basically at that last point, when you're asking the question, remember to sign the client agreement. Do you want to say anything? Because I want to be careful when you're in the closing mode. You don't want to overdo it too much. I was going to say, remember to sign any client agreements, and if you have any questions, contact me. Do you want to say anything like that at all?
Yeah. You can say that if you like.
I think that's a way of just saying, you know, you're trying to build trust with them as well. I mean, and obviously you want to make sure that they feel comfortable signing anything. If there's any questions about it, you want to be able to give them the answers.
Sure. I find that people will generally do that on their own without you asking. But, you know, if you can, there's a danger in inviting that because you set this, you plant the seed in their mind of asking questions. And what I find is most people will ask questions if they have a question. So I often don't say it because I don't want to set them in a mindset of,
okay,
you know, comb through things and come back and ask me questions.
Yes.
I want them to just look at the agreement. What I have found is if they have questions, they'll just ask. They'll, like, shoot me an email. And if not, they just sign it, and then we can just get started.
Okay.
You can do it and test if you seem to get more people with more questions because you're planting the seed, or if it's just fine and it doesn't seem to have any effect.
Great. Well, I was also going to say, this is incredibly helpful. It's what we were doing today. This, because it was very easy to get lost about saying, okay, you're trying to stay up the script, but your brain keeps coming up with different answers and you keep controlling, because there's a lot of balls you're juggling in the air where you're making the script work. So it's one thing to read it, it's a whole other thing to be able to do it when you're in a role play.
Mm-hmm. And what I want to do is come back and refocus on phase two so that people are understanding how strategically to move through phase two, as well as I want to move through phase three with people not making a decision right away, like
okay.
Mary did today. So
yeah,
there's a lot of different variations of phase three, so we might as well go through a few, well, not about a lot. Let's just say there's five different variations of phase three. We should go through all five, and I just made up that number, so don't think it's actually five, but, you know, there's generally a set of general things that will happen in that phase, so we should go through the whole set. And I want to make sure that everybody understands strategically what's meant to be happening in phase two so that you can dance in the moment with the client and not feel like you're getting lost, and also not feel like you're supposed to just be getting through all 25 questions. And you know what I mean? Like, I want you to understand what phase two is for so that you can make good decisions in the moment.
Absolutely.
Yeah? I have two questions. Number one, you don't have to answer, but can you direct me to the part of whatever video where you tell us what's the mechanism we use to capture their credit card? I mean, what is that what do we do with their credit card number? And then I don't know, you know, what do we do with it?
So you write it down as they say it.
Uh-huh.
And for now, you can plug it into PayPal.
Oh, okay. That was my question. I had no idea. And then my other question, thank you. My other question is, on our one-on-one call, you made it so crystal clear, the strategy of how to direct the people towards a selling decision, how you said write this down, and then how you said reflect what you know, reflect the title of what you do and make it reflect what the core cause is, so that once they get to look at your menu, they can see, ah, yes, this core cause is engagement, mm-hmm. or this core cause is list building. And mm-hmm. I think writing down the list as you're having them walk through it is so really instrumental. That, do you mind if I add what you said to me in the document I'm writing now?
Yeah, absolutely.
I just found it so clarifying. Yeah. Okay. Okay. Good.
We didn't have to cover that with Merrill's, but we had to cover it with yours, because with Merrill's, he's teaching Word, Excel, and PowerPoint. Everybody already knows those titles.
Oh.
They know those words.
Oh yeah, that's right.
That's why
I didn't
cover it today. Whereas with you, your product titles were a name that you just made up, and unfortunately, they weren't as descriptive or
mm-hmm.
intuitively descriptive initially until we changed it. So that's why those teaching points were relevant to you. They're not relevant to Merrill's business, unless Merrill's got some stuff that that he offers that people don't know what is by name. But I think all his applications are like other people's applications, like Microsoft.
That's true.
So with Mary, what I taught you will probably apply to Mary.
Mm-hmm.
People might not know what video marketing is as a phrase. Video marketing. They might not, I mean, it's self-explanatory, but as a thing, they might not know what it is. For example, she might encounter somebody who doesn't know what blogging means. That's
mm-hmm.
jargon from the industry. So she would have to describe what blogging is, and then she'd have to use the word blogging in different parts of phase two so that the person understands the importance of blogging, so that by the time that she shows them her packages, and one of the packages is learn how to blog, they understand what that line item is.
Okay, I see.
And I'm saying all of that just to clarify to the rest of the group, because they don't know what it was that I taught you. And it has to do with making sure that whatever's on your menu, people have heard those words during the call, so that by the time you show the menu, they know what those things mean. So Mary, in your packages, if you are teaching video marketing, if you're teaching blogging, you have to use those words in phase two so that the client wants those things, so that by the time you show your menu, they're like, ooh, I want that.
Mm-hmm.
So Merrill's business is a bit different because he's teaching things that are already well known, Excel, Word, PowerPoint, for the most part. Some of Mary's business and a lot of Heather's business is stuff that people might not know the terms or the jargon, and we have to teach them.
Yeah.
Now, what's going to happen in the future, and the next step that we're going to do is to have you write an article or shoot a video that teaches the main concepts of whatever it is you're offering. So Mary's article or video would cover, like, this is what blogging is, this is why it's important. You need to do list building, this is what list building means, this is why it's important. Video marketing, that's what it means, this is why it's important, why you should have it, right? So everybody, before they get on the free consult with you, is going to have read your article or watched your video so that they know what those terms mean, so that when they come on the call and you repunctuate those terms in phase two, they're going to get it. Keeping in mind that not everybody's going to read the article or watch the video before they get on the call with you. People forget, and you have to introduce those concepts in phase two for the first time.
Yeah.
Or you might say to them, can you please read that article really quick and call me back in 5 minutes?
Mm-hmm.
Because otherwise we're going to end up using your free session time for me simply having to teach you what's in that article, and we can't go as deep. Merrill, your article or video is going to talk about things like keyboard shortcuts and the usefulness of that, and the usefulness of things like private mentoring and tailored mentoring versus a class or trying to learn from a class or trying to learn from a video. So that's the kinds of things that your article or video is going to highlight.
Okay.
But that's next step. I don't want you to think about it right now. I just want you to chat with people and get practice at this.
Well, that's all right. That sounds like a really good blog post to me.
Yeah, right? Yeah, you can make a blog post about each of the whatever the article is that you would write, and then just have people read your blog post, send them
right.
that particular blog post, and then hopefully they'll start with that blog post, read a couple other blog posts that you've done, and then talk to you.
Yeah.
So that's an excellent strategy. Okay. Great. So I suppose what we will do on our next group coaching call, which is coming up in like 2 weeks, and I might even well, we'll see what kind of where everyone's at and what's going on. One of the things I was wanting to do is to hop in on your accountability calls. So I wanted to actually call in and listen to you guys run through your accountability calls, just so I can hear what's going on, what's happening, making sure that it's, you know, flowing the way it's intended. I created a video that is teaching you specifically how to run your accountability calls. It was in one of our group calls in the beginning. I described the process, and Jenna asked me to specifically make a video on it, and so I did. That'll go up. And so I think what I might do is try to hop in on some of your accountability calls next week, and then the week after that we'll be in our group coaching calls, and I will help you with either phase two and understanding the strategy there better, and or phase three and the five, quote-unquote five, different possible outcomes in phase three, how to handle the five different outcomes. Again, imaginary number five.
Yeah.
Sounds exciting.
Good.
Do you need to know when our accountability calls are?
I do. So if you can email them to me.
We'll be in the process of figuring that out. Right
now, the groups are Meryl, Mary, and Aaron in London, a boy named Aaron, who was a little behind in the course, but not really. He's already got his packages. He's on his specialties list. And Jenna and Heather. So Aaron originally got started, but then was in a job that did not allow him to continue, and he was able to let go of that job, and so he has time again. He got a different job in the interim, and so he's back on board.
Good. Yeah, we have an accountability call Monday at 1 scheduled.
Mm-hmm. Oh, with Aaron as well?
Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, great.
We just made that agreement. Also, Dana, Anne will be back online after she gets settled in Buenos Aires, so she'll be back in about a week.
Actually, Anne is too overwhelmed with everything that's going on. She's actually pausing working on her business.
Okay.
So she needs a breather. So for now,
yes.
Consider her on the back burner, so to speak. And we're sticking with the tribe that we have right now at the moment.
Okay.
And
I will need to step away.
Please send me your call times, your group accountability call, days and times, plus the call-in number that you guys are using so that I can call in whatever group conference call line you're using.
Oh, we're just Skyping. I mean, I'm just calling Jenna on Skype.
Is there a way to three-way on Skype?
Oh.
I mean, I know that there is. I just haven't done it before.
Our call is at 7:15 a.m., so we may have to make it different time.
your
call,
want to get up that early.
Right.
I'm sorry.
Can you use Google Hangouts?
No, I can't. I'm at work, so I can just use a phone. Yeah, but ours is at 7:15 a.m., So we'll have to make it a different time for you.
Okay. Let's see if we can make something work just so I can join you. That would be awesome. And
okay.
We'll go from there.
Okay.
So great.
And do you want me to post this on the Facebook group, the notes I just took?
Yes, that would be awesome.
Okay.
So that everyone can download
it.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I'll have Lori post this audio in the accelerator.
Great.
Okay, fantastic.
Great.
Great. Then I will
talk
into you guys on your – I'll be joining you for your accountability call.
Okay, good. My internet
is
fresh.
Bye-bye.
So, Heather, I'll see you tomorrow at 11 o'clock, and then Mary, I'll see you from you at 1 o'clock.
Yep.
Yeah, most
Let's
fun.
Let's do it.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Dana, for everything.
All right. Absolutely. Bye, everyone.
Bye-bye.
You are currently the only person in this conference.